wanted to give you a different perspective on the work that First Liberty does in this episode of First Liberty Live. Often you hear us talking about cases that are setting precedents at the Supreme Court, or they're at a circuit court of appeals, and we're trying to win a case that makes headlines, and you hear about it on the news that evening. But there's another side to the work that we do, and I wanted to share some of that with you by example of one place that we're working with right now. We are here in Dallas, Texas, at Our Calling, which is an outreach to people who are on the streets. And you can see right now that they're getting lunches handed out. They say they have 200, 275 people on a typical day who come by to get meals. And this is a place that looks for that community. And we're going to talk a bit about the legal situation that we're coming alongside them. But first, I just want to give you a sense of the work that they do. Let me find Pierre. Where'd he go?
He got a mask.
Pierre.
Hey, Pierre, come on over. This is one of the people that's being helped by the ministry here. I just wanted to ask you the one question. Tell me how Our Calling has helped you.
Well, Our Calling helped me get on my feet spiritually. I live in a bad environment, and I come over here for Bible study. It's mainly these brothers here are doing great work, Christian work, and it just helped me get back my thinking on the right path.
And I get the impression they're providing for you both spiritually, and then also you got a meal in your
hand. Oh yeah. They provide food, clothing, showers, a whole lot of resources, medical, food stamps.
Yeah.
It's just so much help that they do. But I just love the brothers here because they love me. I can feel the love here. You know, you go to church, sometimes you just feel disconnected. But here, I feel the love. I just love Our Calling.
I appreciate you taking a minute for us. Great chatting with you. I'm always cheering for you.
Thank you.
I want you to meet the person who founded this place. He's been working with the homeless for more than 20 years. Come on over here, Wayne.
Yep.
And he's worked with Our Calling. He founded it just over a decade ago. And I'm going to ask him to give us a little tour of the place. So first, tell us what's happening out here, and then we'll step inside.
Sure. Our Calling is a discipleship ministry for the unsheltered homeless community. So we work with about 10,000 folks a year experiencing homelessness. Here at this facility, we have a lot of folks that come in here throughout the day to get services and really help them grow in their relationship with the Lord and get off the streets. And then we have what we call search and rescue teams that go all over the city. We visit about 1,500 locations a year, under bridges, drug houses, abandoned buildings, just looking for folks that are in really bad shape.
Take us on inside. Yeah. Tell us about what happens.
So this facility is a zero barrier facility, which means anybody's welcome. The only barrier is, can you walk through the door? You know, we don't care about an ID, any of that kind of stuff. Because we really want to serve everyone.
Yeah.
And so that gives us an opportunity to serve victims of trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, domestic violence, elderly folks that are struggling. This facility is really built for them. And we do a lot with kind of, user-centered design, right? So it's built for them to come in. It's welcoming. It's clean. They can charge their cell phones. They can meet with pastors, chaplains, counselors. We have about 20 partners here. Yeah, they can take a shower. We'll do their laundry, give them something to eat, something to wear. But really the focus is on two questions every day. The most important questions we'll ask any day are, will you trust Jesus, and can we help you get off the streets? Both of those are very, very important.
And you were chatting with me earlier explaining that while you're very interested in their spiritual well-being, the first mission here is to get them off the streets and into a safe place.
Well, it's a combination. You can't say one's more important than the other, right? You can't say nothing's more important than a relationship with the Lord, right?
Yeah.
But primarily here, some people are living in such a horrible, abusive environment. Imagine a woman in a domestic violence situation. First, you want to separate her from the predator, right? Or a trafficking situation. First, we want to get her into a stable environment. Yep. Where we can start to do, recovery, psychological, emotional, physical, spiritual. But for some people, they just come here for their spiritual food every day. They have church services here, Bible studies, recovery classes. We have teams of pastors, chaplains, counselors, really helping people grow in those two things, their relationship with the Lord and their process to get off the streets.
Now, we had some really nasty weather here in Texas this winter. We had several days where the temperature never got above freezing. It's unusual for the Dallas area to have that. We also had half a foot of snow. It was not safe to be outside on the streets. And with that, you're not a 24-hour facility, but during that emergency, you decided to keep your doors open for 24 hours just to provide people a warm place to be. Why is that important to you as part of your work here?
Well, so we work with all the shelters, and we work with getting every single one of them 100% full, and then whatever options we have. This year, we were able to buy some hotel rooms to put people in. But when those are full, we have no other option. And so we feel it is a moral obligation to keep our doors open to protect people. Even if they're just going to come in here and sit at a table or lay on the floor, we have no other option, we cannot close our door and go home, right? We can't just say, be warm, be filled, hope it turns out well tomorrow.
There's a scripture about that. Yeah.
You know, we work with so many people experiencing homelessness that we've seen a lot of death. Even here, right? One day we came up and found someone who had died because of cold weather near our facility. You know, when it drops below freezing, we are committed to provide some kind of solution for folks.
And I don't want to oversimplify it, but really, you can't have someone here in the building and say, well, it's closing time. That's unchristian to push them outside and say, step out into the cold, we can't serve you anymore.
Yeah, but like, we had single-digit weather this year, right? Yeah. Now, this year, we kept as many people as we could, and then we called the city and said, hey, Dad, let us borrow the car, we won't wreck it. And we took over the convention center and ended up serving 1,300 people there. But traditionally, when the weather gets really bad, we're going to stay open to make sure people have a safe place to be.
Now, you're unapologetically a Christian organization, but this kind of work has you working hand in hand with city government often. That's a regular part of what you do. Tell me about that relationship with the city. What's it like?
Yeah, we really have a great relationship with the city. Right today, our teams are working with them on some homeless camps around the city. The police were just here bringing somebody. They bring a lot of people here to us.
Yeah.
You know, we partner with the city on a lot of long-term strategies. We partnered with them, of course, running the convention center. We actually had city staffers that were officing out of here for about 6 months last year that needed a place to work and tried to work with the homeless community. So we have a great relationship with the staff and the departments of the city because really we have the same goal, and that's to love the citizens of Dallas in a unique way.
Now, because of the population that you serve, you're near downtown.
Yep.
We all know why that is. You're within a half mile of downtown, and that's what's led to this conflict as far as the zoning, the permits for where you are, because the city says you can't keep your doors open 24 hours, even in an emergency, if you're within a half mile of downtown. And that's what you're currently facing, trying to work through that. And that's where First Liberty got involved. Tell me a little more about that.
Yeah, so we worked with the city to create a inclement weather policy. Because when we got a ticket a few years ago because we kept our doors open and they didn't like it. And so apparently it was a code violation, in their opinion, just to keep people alive and to keep people open. So we've been working with the city on developing this process for churches, places that are zoned as a church, to be able to apply to stay open all night.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when the city council was approving that, I was the only partner in the city that spoke at the council meeting. It was all Zoom by then, of course, last year.
Yeah.
And so we were really happy that they approved it. I actually helped write the policy. But then 3 or 4 hours later, middle of the night, because as council meetings go late into the night, one of the council members said, hey, let's create an amendment. And it was in that moment that they said, you know what, we have too many homeless people downtown. And so why don't we not do it downtown? We'll spread it out further. And then you could see them asking questions because they mentioned our name like 10 times in the meeting. So where's our calling? Oh, they're half a mile outside of downtown. Okay, so let's create this barrier half a mile outside of downtown where no one can do inclement weather sheltering, right?
Yeah.
Now, the reality is they passed this during COVID. So zero churches in the county applied. And so when it dropped below freezing, there was no other option again. We have to stay open.
Yeah.
We have a moral obligation to keep people alive. We have a moral obligation to love our neighbors well. That's what Jesus said, right? Love the Lord with all you got and love your neighbor as yourself.
And what I appreciate so deeply is you don't see this disagreement with the city as an adversarial event. It's just something that has to be figured out. We have to come to an agreement that allows the people that you serve to keep being served. I've got Leah Patterson here. She's one of our attorneys with First Liberty. I just wanted to talk to you a bit about that legal aspect of it. What would be the best possible outcome to bring the city and our calling together in where both are winning, where the city gets the services for the people who live here as well as our calling is able to fulfill their calling?
Well, there are actually a couple of pretty easy fixes. So Texas law prohibits the government from burdening religious exercise like they're doing here, and without a compelling interest. They have no such interest here. And really the fix is pretty easy. So the city can, you know, inform code enforcement that staying open 24 hours is not actually illegal, and we don't think it is. But the alternative is they just allow our calling to apply for a permit and get rid of this buffer zone, which also does not make any sense. So there are a few easy fixes here.
Yeah. And not to get too deep into the weeds, but the permit that you have, the way that you're legally connected with the city now, you feel allows you to keep the doors open 24 hours. But if the city said you needed a different permit and they would let you apply, you'd be happy to do that, even though you don't think you need it. Am I saying that right?
That's right. There is no 24-hour use restriction on where our calling zoning is.
Yeah. All right. Leah, thank you for the work you do here. Wayne, as you look into the future, what would you like to see our calling do in the Dallas area to reach out to the people that you serve? They're vulnerable. They need help.
We want to see people come to Christ. We want to see people get off the streets. And so in less than a year, we're going to open up a second location. And we're already been working on a significant housing program where we're going to be building a community for people to live long term, where they can do long term discipleship in a healthy environment. So in 3 years, we want to have 200 people in housing, and that's a program we're going to continue to grow. We get people off the streets every day. We got 38 people off the streets last week in other programs, in other shelters, in recovery. But here we want to do something where it's really a discipleship-focused environment.
Very good. I appreciate the work you do, and my heart is with you in the work that you do. My prayers are with
you. Thank you.
And for those of you who are watching, the reason we wanted to share this story with you is very simple. When you support First Liberty Institute, it's faith-based organizations and individuals and churches, just as you've seen an example of here today, that you're also helping. By supporting us, you're also then helping in the work of our calling as they reach out to the homeless. Now, you can support them directly. I mean, I'm not going to tell people not to do that. We'd be happy if you did. But it's also so important to realize that your contributions to First Liberty help ministries, faith-based organizations, churches, and individuals all over this country. So, if you would please, go to firstlibertylive.com, and while you're there, do two things for me. One, click on the subscribe button so that you hear about new episodes of this every time they're released, and then also click on the big red give button. That's your way of partnering with us. We really think of you as being part of First Liberty because you are coming alongside us in the work that we do. You are part of this effort. And if these are outcomes that you'd like to see happen, if this work resonates with you, we would love to have you come alongside us in that effort. We are grateful for your interest in religious liberty. Make sure you check out our other videos. And if you'd like to subscribe, there's a link right here on the screen, or you can connect directly with us over at firstlibertylive.com.